Have you ever had a dream that left you excited, confused, or even afraid? Do you wonder where dreams come from or what to do about them? Welcome to Gateway to Dreams, where we explore and simplify dreams God's way in three simple steps with author and international speaker, Teresa Ward. Teresa will not only help you interpret your own dreams, but she'll also show you how learning to interpret will help you recognize how God is speaking to you all the time. Get ready to be encouraged. Now, here's your host with the Holy Ghost, Teresa Ward.
Hey, welcome to Gateway to Dreams. I am your host, Teresa Ward, and today my co-hostess with the mostest, Jennifer Stapleton, will be back on the program to discuss more common dreams and dream symbols. And before we get started, I just want to remind you, please hit that subscribe, download, follow, like, share, and give us a 5-star rating and a positive review if you feel like you can, if you love these dreamcasts. One of the reasons is we will be releasing extra episodes that are prophetic in nature or last minute events or things like that, and you'll want to be notified. So just a reminder for that. So Jennifer, I welcome you back to the program. Thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, awesome. It's good to be here.
Before we get started, this has just been really like heavy on my heart, and I wanted to share some really hopefully very encouraging things about dreams and things that have happened to me recently with my dreams. And I think it'll really encourage those listening. Some of you already know because you're on my Facebook page or whatever, but 2 days ago, I was staying at a friend's house, and I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning with a dream. The Lord woke me up with a dream, and it was about my oldest son. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to tell you all the details of the dream, but basically he was in the hospital. He was in the hospital, and there was some stuff that had to happen, and the dream was showing me instruction of what I needed to do to get him the help he needed, and showing me that he needed encouragement and my love and, you know, just to be reassured and some other things. But it was amazing because I had had that dream at 3 a.m, and then 5 o'clock that evening, I get a call from my ex, and I immediately told him, I said, is this about, you know, our son? And I said, is he in the hospital? And he said, yes. And I just thought, God is so loving and so amazing. I cannot tell you how many times, I mean, you know, Jennifer, because we've talked about dreams for years, but how many times he has taken the sting of the shock away by showing me something in advance. And that's the purpose of a lot of warning dreams. Like, this might have felt like a really unpleasant dream, and it wasn't fun, you know, seeing your son in the hospital. But it removed the fear, and like, I already expected it when it happened. So it wasn't, it didn't like shake me. It didn't shake my faith. It didn't instill fear. God was giving me a heads up. This is what's going on. This is what I want you to do. This is what he needs. And so I thought that was so loving and so amazing and so awesome for God to show me that and to just, you know, and he's done that so many times with my children, like giving me a heads up before it happens so it doesn't knock my breath out when it does, you know? And I just, God is just amazing. And then I had another really cool dream story I wanted to tell people. This was amazing. So a few weeks ago, probably almost a month ago now, at the time of this recording, I had this dream about a guy I had not met yet. And in the dream, the essence of the dream, there's a lot more to the dream, but the essence of the dream was I didn't know him. I met him and I was to tell this man, the Lord tells me in the dream, he says, pray for mercy for this man and tell him I will restore his marriage. Tell him to go back to his marriage. And I'm like, oh, Lord, you know, so I don't know who this is for. You know, I didn't know him in the dream. And less than a week later, I meet this guy and he starts talking to me. And I find out he is going through a divorce, but he doesn't want to go through the divorce. And I remember my dream. And I tell this guy, I said, you know what? I think you're the guy in my dream. I told him I'm a dream interpreter. God, you know, shows me stuff in dreams. And I said, I had this dream and God showed me to tell this man to go back to his wife and that I was to pray for mercy for him and that God would restore his marriage if he did. And I tell him this, and I told him a lot of other stuff. Like I shared with him, you know, why God has us pray for mercy and what mercy is, and just there was more to the dream. I tried to explain to him, and I just really tried to encourage him. And he was so excited and so encouraged. And he said, "I've tried everything. Like, I don't want the divorce." And he was literally days away from signing off on the divorce papers.
Wow.
He was working with attorneys. You know, he was, trying to do right and be good. And she just didn't want to work through things for various reasons. You know how things are. It's mm-hmm. both sides issues on both sides. And I just encouraged him. I said, you know what? It may not look like in the dream, it took him a long time to get back to his wife. Mm-hmm. And I said, this may take some time. You know, right. it may take a long time, but I just want to encourage you. Don't agree with the divorce. Like, don't encourage it. Don't make it easy. Don't go along with it. Because I really feel like if you just head back toward your wife and pray for her, you know, God will restore the marriage. Mm. And I talked to him about how to pray for his wife. And so he was so excited. He's like, I don't see it in the natural happening, you know, like she wants nothing right. to do with me. I said, but you got to trust God, you know, just, you know, worst thing is it doesn't happen. Was it going to happen anyway? You know, like right. let's just go for it. Right. So, and I started praying, you know, God very clearly told me, pray for this man, pray for mercy, and I will restore his marriage. So, I prayed for him, and, 3 weeks went by, I think. And, he calls me and he's like, I just don't think she's gonna, you know, go along with it and whatever. And he's just feeling very discouraged because he very much loves his wife and mm-hmm. really wanted it to work. And his job called him to travel all over and all kinds of stuff. So that was part mm-hmm. of the issue. And God gives me a second dream.
Oh, wow.
And I hadn't talked to this guy in between, you know, what I just told you and the second mm-hmm. dream. So the second dream, again, I'm going to condense it. The second dream is I'm talking to him and she finds out about me. She finds out he's talked to me. And at first she's a little shocked, like, how dare my husband be talking to her, you know?
Right.
And then she's really excited. And I explained to her, you know, my marriage didn't work, but I was married 27 years and I've been counseling and I'm talking to her in the dream and she gets so excited and she's really excited to know me. And there was more to the dream, but the essence was she went into the other room and started talking to God. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so then I talked to this gentleman again and I said, I had a second dream. And I said, she found out, you know, we had talked and she was a bit taken back and a little upset at first. And then she was really excited I had talked to you. He says, do you know what just happened? He said, I just told her I had met you. He said, I told her that you interpret dreams and that God gave you a dream and that you saw our marriage working. And wow. I said, she was probably taken back by that at first, but I told him, I said, I really think she's excited at the hope that her marriage will work. In the dream, she really liked me. And in the dream, she really loved him. Mm-hmm. And in the dream, she was seeking God. And I said, I think God's on his way to repairing your marriage. And I think she's excited that there's hope and she's going to get with God. And I continued to encourage him to pray for her, that she would get along with God, that God would speak mm-hmm. to her, give her wisdom, give you wisdom, you know, and you know, he called me back and he called me back after that dream. And he says, Teresa, I'm so excited. He said, I just left my wife's house because they've been separated for probably a year or so, I think. And he said, we talked for hours and he said, it was a difficult conversation, but it went really well. And we're going to mm-hmm. go to a marriage retreat.
Wow.
And everything's been called off with the attorneys. So I mean, I am so excited, you know, and I just encourage those of you listening, you know, keep praying for them. I don't care if this is 10 years from now, keep praying for them. And here's the other really cool thing that happened. So I put it on Facebook with his permission. I said, mm-hmm. I'd really like for people to be praying for you guys because, you know, the enemy hates it when marriages work. You know, so I said, prayer couldn't hurt. Do I have your permission? And I never named names or details or whatever, but mm-hmm. I just asked people, please pray for this couple. And, you know, we got a lot of response. And one guy private messages me on Facebook and he says, at first, I thought you were talking about me and my marriage.
Oh, wow.
He says, because I've never met you, you know, and I was hoping this word was for me because I want my marriage to work. And I looked at the time that he sent it to me. Now, many of you do not know me or whatever, but God uses the number 341 with me. It's a long story I'll share in another episode, but God confirms things to me by the number 341. It has to do with the prophet Bob Jones and a bunch of other stuff, but usually if I'm traveling or God's confirming a serious thing to me, I will get the number 341 in a lot of crazy ways. And I looked at the time of his message and it was 3:41. And I contacted him. I said, you know what? God is all consuming and he is eternal and it can be about more than one person. I said, at the time that you left this message, it was 3:41. So I feel like God is saying, this is also for your marriage. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to agree with you, you know, that your marriage is going to, be blessed and flourish. And so I thought that was mm-hmm. so amazing. And I'm just so encouraged. God just loves us so much. You know, he will give us heads up dreams. You know, he did it for me with my oldest son this week. And a couple of weeks ago, he did it for somebody else's marriage that I didn't even know. Like I hadn't even met this guy yet.
Right.
How cool is that? That God loves him so much. He would find some crazy blonde, you know, that would have the courage or the guts to like say, I'm a dream interpreter and I had this crazy dream and I think you're the guy. You know, it's a spiritual scavenger hunt. But, you know, and some of you, the other encouragement dream I wanted to share with everybody, just how loving God is with encouraging dreams, is that my youngest son, back in like end of March, early April, for those of you who are on Facebook, you know about this, but he, first day on a new job, a semi-truck smashed his arms into the dock. And I, you know, spent 3 weeks in the hospital with him. And it was miraculous that the nerve survived and he kept his arms and all this kind of stuff. But so he had 5 surgeries in 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, he's still going through a lot of stuff in physical therapy and he doesn't have full motion yet in his arm. But here's how cool God is. So like about week 2, I think I was still in the hospital with him. I have this dream, and in the dream there, I'm in this really cool, I'm driving my son's, in the dream, it's a red convertible car, race car. And I'm driving it until he can get in it. Mm. And he has a ways to walk and he's got to walk a little ways. And then he hits this wall and there's this steep, like, stone wall that goes straight up and it goes up about 12 feet. And his right arm, so both of his arms were crushed, his right arm worse than his left, but he's climbing this wall with his left arm like almost effortlessly. Mm-hmm. Like I'm like, how is he going to get up that wall? He gets up the wall like almost with no effort, right? And he gets to the top of the wall and then there's this green grass hill that goes straight up. You know, and I'm going, oh gosh, he's got to get to the top of the hill. But it was like no effort for him. He just, it was like, you know, it was a upward climb and a very right. steep climb, but he had the energy and the stamina and he was young and, you know, I knew he could do it. No problem. It was just going to take time. And this was, I think, before his 4th or 5th surgery. And I told him, you know, I said, son, I feel like God is encouraging you that, you know, and at the time, you know, he's on all these pain meds and stuff and he thinks he's going to be fine and he doesn't realize the severity of the damage. Right. And I said, God's giving us this dream in advance. And I really believe what it's saying is, you know, there's going to come a time soon, you're going to hit a wall. you know, you're going to struggle. Mm-hmm. Walls are struggle. You know, you're going to hit a struggle, but you're going to be able to overcome this with almost no effort. Like, you know, and it'll have to do with your arm, because in the dream, it was focusing on him not being able to use his right arm.
Right.
And then when you got to the top of the wall, you were standing on the top of the wall and you had a straight up hill to climb, but it was like, no problem. It wouldn't take much effort. And I just said, you know, I think you're going to hit some struggles in the near future, but God's encouraging you. You have the strength to do this, and it may take some time and it's going to be an uphill battle, but you can do this, and don't give up hope, and, you know, don't be discouraged. And, you know, a couple weeks went by and there were days, really, really dark days for him. Mm-hmm. He has horrible, horrible scars. His arm looks deformed. He has, at the time, you know, he didn't have use of his fingers. He couldn't even turn his hand over. He's got, you know, scars from his wrist to his elbow and up into his bicep on both the top and on the inside, skin grafts. I mean, it was pretty gruesome. And he called me just, you know, really discouraged one day and crying. And he's like, I feel like, you know, a freak. People are staring at me. I can't use my hand. He was so overwhelmed with grief and discouragement. And I said, do you remember the dream God gave me? I said, God knew you would hit a wall. You would struggle, but I want to encourage you. God knew this in advance to encourage you. You're going to get over this, no problem. It will take some effort. It will take some time. But son, you have this. And it so breathed life into him and, you know, reminded him. God knew ahead of time.
Right.
And it really, that dream has given him encouragement three or four serious times when he was just so, you know, really struggling with depression and different things. And it has sustained him. And it is amazing what a dream will do that's from God, you know, like.
Right. It keeps giving life over and over again.
Yeah. And I just really want to encourage people, you know, especially parents or anybody. Like, if you have these scary dreams, they're not meant to scare you. They're meant to encourage you, to give you hope, you know, that God knows the end from the beginning. And he doesn't want you to, you know, lose hope or to be discouraged. So anyway, that was just on my heart this week. And one other dream I had I want to share real quick. I know I'm monopolizing the time, but this was really encouraging. I had this a couple days ago. And I feel like that this is for the body of Christ, because a lot of times I get dreams for the body of Christ, which means those who believe in Jesus. And we were on shore, and like the Marines were with us. There was a big group of Marines with us. And there was a naval ship that wasn't too far offshore. And it was a war ship. And the name of the warship was Victory. And it wasn't going to take long for the ship to come in. So I really felt like that was for the body of Christ. And I felt like and on the shore, as the ship was coming in, the Marines were like chanting like a song or something to honor the ship coming in. They were like acknowledging the ship coming in and singing this chanting song, you know, like this, you know, how they have. And as I meditated on that dream, and this was just a couple days ago, so I haven't fully unpacked it yet, but it was such a great dream. I feel like it's something that's for sure going to happen. And the Marines' slogan is Semper Fi, which means always faithful.
Right.
And I feel like those who have been faithful, that our ship's about to come in and that it is a warship, which means worship, like continue to worship. And worship is your warfare, you know, and that's scriptural. You know, the worshipers went out before the army. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like, you know, and the name of the ship was Victory. I feel like we will have victory. And what's interesting was, what was brought to my attention this week is the new Hebrew year, which starts in September usually. The new year is the year of the open door.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
And I really feel like new open doors are going to happen in our life for those who have been faithful, Semper Fi, those who have been faithful. You know, victory is about here, and don't give up hope. Like it, when, you know, even like with my son, a lot of things are coming at us right now. And I just want to really encourage you at the time of this recording, this is July of 2019. I think it'll air July or August. You know, it's, we're almost there, and I just feel like to encourage you, you know? Mm. And so, yeah, that's been my week. So, you know, and I also, our last episode, I don't know if you remember what we talked about in the last episode, but we were talking about death, you know, in dreams and stuff. And a couple other things came to my mind as I was uploading that episode this week.
Okay.
There's a couple of one of the things you said was, you know, most death dreams, you know, almost all of them are not about death at all. Like 99% of them are not about death. But, you know, you had made a comment or something about how, you know, it's not like, you know, a movie scene where you can, you know, death is averted or whatever. but what was brought to my mind yesterday was I do remember a friend. This was about 15 years ago. And it was when I was first getting started, and it was one of the girls I was working with to get my certification with Streams Ministries, John Paul Jackson. And she had actually had this dream. I thought it was a cool testimony. She had had this dream, and in the dream, she woke up at like, she had this dream at like 2 or 3 in the morning. And in the dream, she sees her son in this car, and he's in the car, and he goes through this four-way intersection or something and gets hit head on, and he dies. And she's like panicked and screaming, and she wakes up and she just starts praying, and she starts praying in the spirit, and she's praying for like an hour or so until she gets like a release of peace. She goes back to sleep and she has another dream. And in this dream, it was the same exact dream where he's driving in the car. He comes to this intersection and this other car is coming, but she, you know, like you can only do in dreams, right? She pushes his car, right, from one angle, and it averts the head-on collision, and he survives. Well, she gets a call. She goes back to sleep. She gets a call 2 hours later from a hospital and says, your son's been in an accident, and he's okay. We don't know how he survived because he got hit at such a weird angle. He had gone through this intersection and somehow the car got turned and somehow it saved him. And it was exactly what she had seen in her second dream. And, you know, we sometimes just say, you know, dreams are just, we quote, just dreams. You know, Western culture is the only culture in the world that takes dreams so lightly, you know, that I've been aware of. And, you know, almost every other, especially in the Eastern culture, they value dreams. They know there's a supernatural element. And even when I interviewed Justin Perry, who's the lead pastor of Morningstar, and he wrote the book called Adventures in Dreaming, The Supernatural Nature of Dreams. I think he shared a very similar story, how somebody had gone back into a dream and changed the outcome. And that, you know, there is a side of dreams that are supernatural. It's the invisible realm. And the Bible says that the invisible realm is more real than the visible realm. And, you know, I do believe that there are some dreams, you know, few, but
sure,
that
absolutely.
God uses dreams in a very supernatural way in the invisible realm. And that's all through scripture. Look at the angels that appeared to Mary or Joseph, or, you know, those happened in a dream. Solomon, he encountered, God gave Solomon all the wisdom and everything from a dream. That was a real experience. It wasn't, quote, just a dream, you know? And so that's just really also been highlighted to me this week, just that, you know, there's so much more to dreams than we give credit to. In the Western culture. And, you know, so I just wanted to bring that up, but your thoughts on that?
No,
oh,
I
by
mean,
the way,
I think,
yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously, I agree. I think the statement last week was the 99.9%
right,
of the times,
absolutely.
Yeah. You know, yeah, somebody's not dying. It's about a lot of the other issues we mentioned
absolutely.
On our podcast. But yes, absolutely. We leave the door open because there's always going to be an exception to the rule. And your dream very well may be the exception to the rule. And
depending
I
on
just
the
encourage
type of
you
dream.
To, yeah. Yeah, just pray about it. And I think you know, the vast majority of the time, it's about you or something right. really close to you happening.
Right.
God could be saying literally intercede in this situation. So,
right.
So that changes. I do find those are very rare.
They are.
Very,
and you
rare.
Kind of, the more you dream, the more you kind of can discern which dreams are so serious. Like, this isn't metaphor.
Yes.
Like, this is really about my child, you know? Like, I've had dreams even where God's gracious enough to say, Teresa, don't interpret this. I've had dreams where he said, this is literally about Satan wanting to literally kill you. Don't take this as metaphor. Like, don't right. try to interpret this. But most of the time, just the impact of the seriousness, you know it's not metaphor. Like,
right.
But like you said, 99.9% of the dreams are metaphor, depending on your gifting, because there are some people who just dream literally. You know, I know a lot of prophetic people that get literal dreams, you know, or dreams that are half literal, half symbolic. And that's scriptural too. There's a lot of stuff in scripture that was half literal, half symbolic. So
sure. Yeah. For every kind of rule of thumb in dreams, you can almost all the time, this means this, but every now and then
right.
it doesn't. So it kind of keeps you on your toes. But I find those times when dreams are literal and important like that, the person knows viscerally, they can't
right.
stop themselves from interceding
right.
how they saw themselves. They can't stop themselves from doing what they felt like they need to do. And I almost always hear about those dreams after the fact. Like, you're not going to believe the dream I had. And then I did
right.
this and,
right.
and then this happened. And holy right. moly, that the whole thing was changed. Like, I can't think of a single instance where I've heard like before it happened. I think almost all the time when it's been literal like that, the person's almost always gotten up and done exactly what they felt like they needed to do.
Right. And sometimes there's specific instruction. I've had dreams
right.
that I've shared with you about one of my sons where, you know, I was told to go on a 21-day fast and it took 21 days to come to pass. But on the 21st day, you know, something serious happened. And had I not been fasting and praying, I don't know what the outcome would have been, but it turned out good because I obeyed, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We usually know. We kind of have a gut feeling about those and just trust your gut, you know? And
yep. And the more you walk with God, you learn how he speaks to you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the more you're in the word, you understand, you know, the more you give God room to speak to you, you know, through his word and explain things to you and stuff. So. But
yeah, absolutely.
There's only two other things I wanted to touch base on with the last episode that we did. And it's only because I just uploaded them today. So I've freshly listened to it and you haven't, you know. But we were talking about death in one of the last episodes that we did. And I didn't bring up, we didn't talk about weapons or anything. We talked about the gruesome dream I had. And we talked about
right.
murdering people, that it's usually your words and stuff. But I also wanted to bring up something. It was one of the most profound dreams I had. And I won't explain it all, but just know, I had this dream. And in the dream, it wasn't me in the dream, but it was me, you know, I was being shown through.
It was metaphorically you.
Yes, it was an arbitrary person. And God later showed me that was me. And this person had shot this person in the kneecap. And I saw like a CSI moment. I saw the bullet go up through his thigh and like rip his muscles apart. And I saw the gruesome details and the blood and the muscles and the whatever. And just to condense the interpretation of this, I talk about this a lot when I speak live, but that God showed me guns are shooting off at the mouth and destroying people. And I said to him, I remember saying to him, why? And we talked about the graphic dream I had last time and some serious graphic sexual dreams. Like, why are they so graphic? You know, like, you know, this God doesn't want our eyes to see this. So why am I seeing this graphic, you know, the intensity of this dream? And I remember vividly asking the Lord, why did I have to see all that? You know, because I really do protect my eyes from what I watch and what I listen to. And I don't watch gruesome TV shows or movies or thrillers, you know, like that are gruesome.
Right. Right.
And so I thought, why did you let my eyes see that? And I didn't hear the audible voice of God, let me be clear, but I felt a very strong impression from the Holy Spirit say, because that's how serious it is in the spirit realm.
Mm-hmm.
I'm showing you the seriousness, you know, of what it looks like in the spirit realm. This is how serious I take it. This is what your words are really doing. You think, oh, I'm just spouting off at the mouth and he made me mad and whatever. And I'm going to show you. And he showed me in that dream, most people never survive this kind of, you know, you ripped him apart with your words and most people never survive this. And you will be held accountable for every careless and idle word you speak. And I will return and you'll be accountable. And that's scripture. Right. And so he was just showing me, you know, the severity of it, which is his grace, because I had time to repent. And you know, when you truly repent, and I've said this before in a previous episode, God even has given me a dream telling me to remind people of this. When you mean what you say, when you are truly sorry and you go to God and you are sincerely, wholeheartedly sorry, it's as though it never exists. That is the grace and the incredible mercy of God to give you an opportunity to repent. So do not ignore these dreams. You know, one of the biggest dream myths I see, and it's true to some extent, are the sexual dreams. And we'll talk about it in another episode. But most people say those are fleshing dreams. Just get rid of them. Don't pay attention to them. Those are just, you've been slimed. And sometimes it is. Mm-hmm. I want to be very clear. Sometimes it is. But for me, I've had so many dreams and I've interpreted so many dreams. Most of the time, they are not fleshing dreams. Most of the time, they are showing you the severity in the spirit realm of what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, and that this is his grace to show you so you have time to repent and stop doing what you're doing, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's, I just wanted to sit, you know, just talk about the seriousness of the spirit realm, that it's more real than this realm. And it's actually God's grace that he shows us that kind of stuff to show us how much it's impacting him and how much what it's doing invisibly, like what it does to people. Words do hurt. Look, think of how many people commit suicide from bullying, or, you know, just words have so much power. You know, words are containers of power and we have to be really careful. And so anyway,
sure. Yeah. Cause if you get, you know, hit on your arm, you have a bruise and it heals and you move on. But
if you're cut up into pieces and your body parts are all over the place and the head's still speaking like the last episode, it's a little more serious.
Yeah. Well, no, I was just saying, like in the natural, the wounds from words kind of rattles on, physical wounds, you know, seem to heal much more straightforward. Right. And I think,
right.
The beauty and the usefulness of hearing God through dreams is that you understand how powerful sometimes a conversation might be because you had a dream about it, or you understand something that's going on in a relationship is actually a really big deal when maybe you thought on the surface it wasn't a big deal. And sometimes it can help us understand somebody else's perspective or understand our own motivations through the metaphors that we experience in the dream, because it captures our emotions in a different way. And dreams are much more severe and intense sometimes than what we feel like we're experiencing right. in the natural, to highlight the reality of what's going on. And I think that's what's so important.
I couldn't agree with you more. And you yeah. said it so eloquently. But I also, you know, it also is true for the positive. And so here's the flip side of that coin, is that I've had dreams, and I'm sure other people have had dreams, where it felt so amazing in the dream. And then you get the interpretation, you're like, oh, that's all it is? You know? But what God showed me is, no, it's really that good in the spirit. Like, you think mm-hmm. it's just this, you know? But to God, it's like so much a bigger deal and means so much more to him. You know, and so he's also showing you the impact in a positive way as well, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's really nice to have those dream emotions and then process them in the natural. Kind of helps you understand things where they are. And sometimes we need those things highlighted. I like the extremity of dreams to help us focus our attention on what's going on.
Yeah, it captures your attention. And that's one of the words that's used for one of the words in for dream in scripture. It means to blow up out of proportion. I don't know if that's anupnion. I can't remember which dream word it is, but we'll cover it in a future episode. But one of the words means to blow up out of proportion, to capture your attention. It's like it's bigger than life because it's that important and it's trying to get your attention. Good or right. bad?
Right.
Yeah.
Dreams definitely capture our attention. That's for sure.
Yeah. So let's, on a lighter note, after all the gruesome death and whatever dreams, let's continue our conversation. One of the last episodes you and I discussed were people in dreams, and we touched base on acquaintances. And just as a reminder, if you haven't listened to that episode, go back and listen to all the episodes. But acquaintances, God showed me, like, if they mean absolutely nothing else to you, a lot of times they're literal and there's nobody else in their life praying for them. So he wants you to pray for them. And that's really a last resort kind of thing. Like if they don't, their career doesn't mean anything to you, their characteristics don't mean anything to you, you don't really know them, they're just truly an acquaintance and nothing comes to mind. He told me in a dream years ago, sometimes they're literal, you know, so pray for them.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And sometimes they're the meaning of their name.
Exactly.
As well. That's one that comes across if there's nothing that stands out about that person.
Right.
I will often look up, well, what does that person's name mean?
Right.
And that I think for me, 75% of the time is usually a piece of the puzzle.
Really? See, I hear a lot of people doing that. And that is like, for me, it's like 10% of the time.
Interesting. Well, I'm for acquaintances and dreams, not for close friends.
Oh, I'm talking about names. The meaning of names.
The meaning of names.
No, I have some people that like look up the meaning of the name and they always do that first and try to push that into the dream interpretation. And for me, that's almost a last resort. The meaning of somebody's name.
Yeah. I was let me say the right words there. I was just meaning if people are acquaintances and not close friends in your dreams,
right, you're right.
Then that's when I find the interpretation of their name usually fits the spot. Yeah, if it's
an
unknown person, yeah.
It has a name and you don't really know them in real life, yeah.
Yeah, if it's somebody closer to you or family or something like that, those people are rarely, the meaning of their name is usually irrelevant.
Right.
Because it has to do with your relationship or some part of their nature or the connection.
And, you know, if you are looking up the meaning to people's names, the book I use is by Dorothy Astoria. It's called Baby Names, and it's by Dorothy Astoria. And the reason I like her book, and I've mentioned it before, is because she's a Christian. And not only does she put the meaning to their name and the origin of their name, but she also puts the connotation of their name and the scripture to their name. And so sometimes I have found when it's about the name, sometimes it's the meaning of the name, but sometimes it's the scripture attached to the name that just resonates with the whole dream, you know? And so I really love her book, but God knows your love language and knows what you know and knows what you use. And he will use, you know, the resources a lot of times that you use, just like the Bible that you use, you know, he knows when I study, I use New King James. I like a lot of other versions better, but when I study, I use New King James, and just because it's more accurate to the original interpretation. But, you know, he knows what you use. He knows what you like. He knows what sites you use, and he speaks to everybody personally. But I just thought I would share those resources. But let's talk more about people and characters and stuff in dreams. Is there anything that comes quickly to mind for you? I mean, I've got a million of them, but what do you encounter in dreams?
I mean, what's funny is what comes to mind is not people, is animals for me. But
okay, that's only a whole different category.
I know that's a whole different
category.
But I'm single. Yeah. I don't have any family at home. But for me, a lot of times my cats and my dreams represent something close to me or a part of me. So it's funny if I have dreams that have to do with something that's close to me, a lot of times my cat or something that has to do with my heart, my cats are in the dream.
Yeah.
I know that's not people, and that's kind of unusual. That's just kind of what popped in my mind.
It's not unusual, but yeah, it's
if you're really an animal person, your pets could fill that role. But I know that's a whole different diversion. That's just what popped into my mind.
But you know what? I want to go with that because here's something really cool about what you said. And I'm so glad you did bring it up because animals are really big in dreams and really important. And oh my God, I had a monkey the other day. I'll have to share with you. but I was listening to some other dream interpreters, other Christian dream interpreters, last week, and they brought up cats, and I was so angry about what they were saying, because like you said, it's a part of you. You love cats. As long as I've known you, you've had a cat.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of cat lovers. That's their pet. And so that will often be used in dreams because God uses what you love and what you know to explain things mm-hmm. you don't know, right? Mm-hmm. So he's always loving, right? Now, cats can mean a lot of different things. You know, right. One thing is because you love them, it's a part of you, like you just said, right? And it's
right.
really good attributes. Sometimes, you know, cats, they're not as trainable as dogs, right? So sometimes it's like somebody that's got a mind of their own, right? Or mm-hmm. is not trainable or what, if it's in the right context. Sometimes cats, if they're black and they're with witches, you know, context always drives the interpretation.
Yeah, that probably is not a good thing.
And so it could be witchcraft or whatever, but that's rare, right? But when I was listening to this, it's so rare. But
cats
when
cats get a bad rap and a lot of dream interpretation. And now more Americans own cats than own dogs.
I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah.
And so, on the positive note, they like take care of themselves. They don't take as much effort, you know, like they don't take as much, you know, they know how to let themselves out and, you know, whatever. So there's a lot of great traits, but it's so funny we mentioned cats because today I was in the studio editing some previous podcasts and he just has a brand new kitten and it's aww. So cute. Maggie is her name. She's a calico cat. She's so cute. And I just find that interesting timing. But
yeah, that's interesting. I don't know. Maybe somebody's out there with the cat dream. Yeah, because I would say for a long time, the other dream interpreters that I ran into, cats were always a symbol for something willful, stubborn,
negative,
independent in a bad way.
Yeah.
And I was just like, well, cats kind of turn up in my dreams fairly regularly, and I'm always happy about it. So you know, okay, if that's a bad thing, I'm actually kind of comfortable.
Because it's always context.
Yeah. And so if you hate cats and you have dreams about cats, then it's going to mean something else to you.
If your cat is disobedient, maybe it is
right.
showing you how you're being like your cat, you know?
Right.
But that's true with dogs or anything else, you know? Right.
So is your pet a good element or a bad element? A lot of people have dreams about dogs as well in the same.
And there's good and bad dogs. There's, you know, Rottweilers that rip your arm apart. Or there's golden retrievers that are faithful and loving and gentle. You know, like it just depends on the context. Context rules interpretation in scripture as well. Like lions, it's Jesus and Satan and courageous and intimidating and all kinds of things. Context rules the interpretation.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just when you brought up people for some reason and I thought of my cat because I guess he's my
like
people.
A person.
Anyway, my little weird personality out there in the world now. But I had a dream last summer where I have two cats now and their personalities are very different than my previous cat. He was almost a 20-year-old Siamese and he was very independent, thought his own thoughts, had his own mind about everything. And the two little cats that I have now are very different. Like they are just, Orion in particular, it's just a little snuggle bunny, loves to cuddle, doesn't like to be left alone, wants to be with you wherever you are. And I had a dream with him, and I've had them for 3 years now, and I had a dream with Orion last summer, and I was holding him really close to me, and I had a hard time figuring out the interpretation of that dream, but the interpretation ended up being my heart in that dream. He was like a physical representation because I was protecting him in the dream and I was protecting my heart was the interpretation.
Right.
But I had to really think about what does he represent to me? And he's just
the context.
He's the sweetest, most loving. He doesn't bite. He doesn't scratch. Like, he's never gotten in trouble in his life because if he
thinks... Are you saying you've never gotten in trouble in your life, Jennifer?
Well, I mean...
Seriously?
Where it's extreme. It's a dream extreme. But he just has the most tender heart. When I really started to think about his personality, he had... And then I thought, oh, and then it was like a bell went off because I was finally able to figure out what the symbol was because I just kind of examined my relationship with him and kind of who he is. And I know that's a cat because, I mean, he's my family. But if you have a dream about somebody in your family, the same process works. What do they mean to you when you think about them? What's important about them?
What's their role? Yeah.
What stands out? And that will help you to your own aha moment about the interpretation of, you know, if the dream's about, yeah, your sister, your brother, your boyfriend, or your mom.
And there were so many animals in scripture. God created animals. And what I've discovered, and we'll go over specific animals in a future episode, but animals typically are their attributes, right? And so what are they known for? Even like bad animals, like snakes, like why this snake, not that snake? You know, what are the attributes of this dog, not that dog? Like, what are the attributes of this cat, not that cat? Like, what are the attributes? I've often found that it usually represents people or attitudes. And if you look at the attribute of the animal, you will discover kind of what it's about.
Absolutely. And that, just to illustrate your point, and that same dream where I was holding Orion, my cat, and he was my heart, I had another big cat, a jaguar, which was black and very negative and very scary in the dream. And I was able to, based on the context, that he was bad, I was afraid of him in the dream, and that he was black. To me, it represented something that was dark. There was it's a spiritual issue.
Yeah, usually like high cats, like, you know, snake, jaguars, or what's the other cat? The big cat that I saw in Africa,
lions and tigers and
lions, but the
a lynx, a bobcat,
lynx, the leopard. Mm-hmm. Okay. And a leopard doesn't change its spots. Like, you know, high level cats, I have found, usually represent witchcraft.
If it's a negative.
Especially, I mean, like if it's black.
Yeah.
You know, it's somebody. If you're somebody,
a cat trainer.
Right.
Yeah. Or somebody that works in a zoo. It might mean something different to you. But for the rest of us.
Right. And what I mean by witchcraft, because like there's literal witchcraft where there's spells and stuff. And I know a lot of you don't believe in that stuff, but I'm telling you, I've traveled the world. It exists. There really are people who work in voodoo and witchcraft and do have a lot of power. And so sometimes, like if you have a call to Africa or whatever, I would take those dreams very seriously. Other times witchcraft is simply manipulating the spirit realm.
Yeah.
Okay. And so it could be people that just manipulate people by emotional manipulation. Have you ever had the people that make you feel guilty about everything or want to control you? Or like a lot of that is considered witchcraft because it's control, manipulation.
Do you think that would fall under like mansplaining or gaslighting?
I don't know.
If you've got somebody in your life that's got a subtle manipulation going, you think that could be interpreted in a dream as witchcraft?
Oh yeah.
I'm just saying those are kind of buzzwords in the culture right now, and so just trying to.
I haven't maybe heard those buzzwords you just used though.
Oh well, so mansplaining is when a man tries to tell a woman something that she already knows.
So gaslighting is what?
It's psychological manipulation when somebody sows seeds of doubt, or they're trying to get you to question yourself.
Okay. Is she related to Jezebel?
But so, yeah, same thing. Gaslighting, Jezebel, for those of you who are, you know, newer to this stream.
Yeah.
Those are things.
Jezebel's
that,
not just a woman, by the way.
No.
It's anybody who likes to control, even if they're not in a position of control. They just.
If somebody's, in your life's always making you question yourself, doubts you, making you think that you're not in your right mind.
None of us have ever known people like that.
But that's just another form of witchcraft. So I guess I'm just looping all those things together for current social media purposes.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag gaslighting.
Hashtag okay. gaslighting. Hashtag witchcraft. Yeah.
It doesn't mean lighting a gas lamp. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, they're a little bit more fun to say, you know.
Right. So they are. New trigger words. I didn't know about these, so I'm a little clueless.
We got to get you on Twitter, Teresa.
You know what? I am, but I'm automatically on Twitter via Facebook. So I don't even look at Twitter like I should. And I probably will get back on there and stuff. Oh my God, we're already at almost an hour. And
I know.
We haven't even touched on people because I did all the talking tonight.
Let's just title this one Random Podcast with Interesting Information.
Okay, cool. We know what we're going to talk about next time. Maybe next time we'll talk about other crazy people. Because like there's famous people, there's first loves, there's invisible people, there's spouses, all family people,
angels, demons,
cartoons, the president.
Prime minister. Yeah, all those crazy. Yeah,
all the crazy famous people. I've got some funny stories about those. So maybe next time, if you guys tune in next time, subscribe, download.
Where follow, we finally talk about people after talking about it for two episodes.
Well, you know, cats are people.
I mean, I feel like that. If you're my house, my cats are my people. So,
so it is what it is. Funny.
Important to my dream life.
What are your cats' names again? Orion and what?
Bellatrix. They're both. So Orion is a constellation and Bellatrix is a star in the constellation of Orion. Yeah. And so what's funny is that
you and Chris Carter, you guys are all like into the stars.
I'm sure it's
partially. We have to have him on. Chris, if you're listening, you have to come on.
Oh, he'll do it. I'm sure it's partially his influence. But what's funny is that Bellatrix loves Orion.
Oh, that's funny. So,
and Bellatrix is a star in the constellation of Orion.
That's hysterical.
And gosh, she loves him. Like, he likes her, but she loves him.
That's hysterical. So we could even go, is this metaphor or like?
I haven't dreamed about it yet, but that could be an interpretation.
You know how the natural manifests, the spirit realm, right? So I'm just saying.
That's true. You know, her love is just a little bit uncomfortable. Like she wants to, lay on top of him instead of beside him. You know what I mean? Like
she's a little controlling. She's a little Jezebelic.
I don't know about that. It all comes from love, though. I don't think it's manipulation.
No,
it's just
right. Just overwhelming cuteness.
It's just, overwhelming cuteness and very intense feelings of love.
I'll have to send you a picture of Maggie, of my sound guy's new little kitten.
Oh, you should.
Kitten. I will have to post that in the notes. So cute. And she's so loving and so calm and just like a cute little calico. She's
I don't think
adorable.
There's anything better in this world than kittens and babies.
Kittens, puppies, and babies. I mean, come on. Does it get cuter? I'm not sure.
Yeah, kittens. I feel a rush of euphoria just thinking about it.
Oh, so funny. Well, listen. For those of you listening, I just want to remind you to go to the website, gatewaytodreams.com, for more info and to sign up for our newsletter so you can stay on top of all the events and resources coming soon. One thing, at the time of this recording, July, August-ish, of 2019, I will be in France speaking in Paris in September, late September. So sign up for our email list and we will let you know where we're going to be at. We'll be kind of all over Europe as well. So, and if you ever want to invite me to speak, send me a request. I would love to come see you. And, but we also want to remind you to write your dreams down. And expect to dream and send in your testimonies. If you go to the website, gatewaytodreams.com, and you scroll to the bottom, you can actually record a testimony or a dream question you have that Jennifer and I can answer on a future episode, or even record a dream and we will call you and interpret it live on the episode. But we thank you for listening tonight. And until next time, we pray you have sweet and holy dreams. Keep calm and dream on.
If you'd like to ask a question, share a testimony, or have Teresa interpret your dream on an upcoming show, go to gatewaytodreams.com and leave us a voicemail using the record button we provided. Thank you for listening to this episode of Gateway to Dreams. Until next time, may God bless you above and beyond. The information shared on this podcast is the sole opinion of Above and Beyond and is not to be used as medical advice. If you need professional help, consult with a professional therapist or physician.